According to police and court records, the alleged Seattle Pacific University shooter, Aaron Ibarra, did have a history of severe mental health issues. He heard voices. He suffered from depression, anxiety, and obsessive-compulsive disorder. Now some mental health advocates wonder why he slipped through the cracks. Sandy Ando works on public policy issues for Washington State's chapter of NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. Ando told me what crossed her mind when she first heard about the SPU shooting.
Well, it's the same thing that crosses my mind every time we have an incident like this happen. Gosh, I hope that he didn't have a mental illness, because it's really not a good thing for people to be associating mental illness with violence, because people with mental illnesses are far more likely to be victims and perpetrators of violence. But in the public perception, what they hear is these stories, these unfortunate, really tragic events.
Well, unfortunately, the suspected shooter, Aaron Ibarra, had been hospitalized twice after seeking help on his own. But on two other occasions, he was referred for involuntary treatment for a mental health problem. And both times, the Snohomish County Mental Health determined he was not detainable. I'm curious, first, what that means, and second, what kind of changes you'd like to see in how people are or are not treated or committed for treatment involuntarily.
What happened in this specific case with Mr. Ibarra, not being detainable is not saying that someone does not have a mental illness. Basically, it means that they don't meet the standards for involuntary detention, imminent risk of harm to self or others. We have many people who aren't detainable because they don't meet that imminent risk standard. That imminent standard is a difficult one to reach in some instances and causes us to have to wait to intervene until the decompensation that folks are suffering has progressed so far as to put them into a real crisis mode.
So what would you like to see?
We would like to see the current Involuntary Treatment Act standard for emergency detention be substantial risk of harm to self or others instead of imminent risk. And we believe that that still protects the civil liberties of the people being detained sufficiently, but it also acknowledges the need to have an earlier intervention into what they're dealing with, so that we can try to forestall some of these really tragic consequences.
Aaron Ibarra had been dealing with serious mental issues for several years before last week's shooting. Aside from involuntary commitment changes, what kind of interventions for him would you like to see?
It's a little difficult to postulate what might have made the difference here exactly, but what we do know is with this existing inadequate system, if we see earlier and more assertive intervention, we're going to see better outcomes. So something like assisted outpatient treatment, where we have people going out to assertively contact folks to make sure that they are taking their medications, that they are going to their therapy sessions, that to make sure that they are living in housing that is stable and that they are having the right kinds of social interactions. That kind of assertive outreach and wraparound services would make a great deal of difference for so many people with mental illnesses.
I'm speaking with Sandy Ando. She works on public policy issues for Washington's chapter of NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. Speaking more generally about mental health policy, Sandy, what would you like to see changed?
Well, we'd be really remiss here if we didn't point out the continuing lack of inpatient beds in our state. And even with assisted outpatient, if we were to install assisted outpatient treatment in our state, we still have a dearth of beds. We need to have more inpatient beds. I think one of the other things that we really want to see changed is a decriminalization of mental illness. In other words, diversion from the criminal justice system in every instance possible. That means, of course, that we would have to have more crisis triage and stabilization centers across the state so that our law enforcement folks could be bringing people into those instead of booking them into the jails. Right now, our jails and prisons are the biggest warehouses of people with mental illnesses that we have in our entire state.
So I know your job is to work on public policy issues, and we've been talking about mental health system and the the public safety sector of our society. But what can those of us who don't work in those fields do to support people who are dealing with a mental illness?
Well, first and foremost is please do not be afraid of people with mental illnesses. Even when they have behaviors that seem less than comfortable to you, they still are not people that you need to be afraid of. Be a friend. If you've got someone near you who has a mental illness, be a friend to them and encourage them to be getting help, but still be a friend even if they don't get help.
Finally, Sandy, Aaron Ibarra was able to get a gun legally. What is your take on our state's gun laws, particularly when they intersect with people who do have mental illness?
Well, 97% of all gun violence is committed by people who do not have mental health problems. However, we do believe that it makes perfect sense to not have guns in the hands of people who might not be safe with them. So from a personal perspective, my own personal perspective, I believe that we need to have some universal background checks in place. And that's across-the-board background checks. If we're going to try to get a handle on gun violence, we need to not point our fingers at any one population, for instance, the population of people with mental illness. But we do need to be looking at who is going to have their hands on the guns and how they're going to be handled.
Sandy Ando, thank you very much for taking time to talk with me today.
Thank you for visiting with me as well.
Sandy Ando works on public policy issues for Washington's chapter of NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. King County Prosecutor Dan Satterberg this morning charged Aaron Ibarra with one count of first-degree murder, two counts of attempted murder, and assault. It's The Record from KUOW. I'm Marcy Silman.